For the record, my name is Tom Doyle. I represent Andrew Boland. I will reserve 1 minute.
Okay. Are you splitting time equally?
Yes.
Is that how we're doing that?
Yes. Okay. I'll take five and Jody will take five. This is a simple case in the sense that it's a one-issue case, whether or not the structure, the building, constituted a dwelling. Hence, the conviction of residential burglary. In deciding that, the courts have looked at all circumstances to determine whether it is a place of lodging. And we're saying here that it isn't, and there's factors that show that it isn't. The place had been vacant for 5 years. It had been in the state that they found it for at least a year.
Is that clear, though? Is when you look at the evidence in the form of the owner's testimony in a light most favorable to the state, doesn't she say this occurred March 5th? In January, a realtor was showing people through the residence to purchase as residents, and that at that time the deficiency she was aware of was a broken front window and blackberry bushes that had grown up right next to that window, so that when the window was broken, they were able to come into the house.
She testified to that the broker had given her that information. But what you also had in the case was Deputy Brooks' testimony, and he was specifically asked, when was the last, on page 107 and 108 of the transcript, he was asked, when was the last time you had been there? His answer was months, maybe a year, probably a little bit more. On page 108, he is then asked, was the place in the same condition when you were last there that it was on March 12th, the day of the offense? Answer, yes.
Well, was that fleshed out at all? I mean, what? Okay, it's one thing if you've got a house with broken windows and blackberry mm-hmm. bushes. That's not quite so much evidence of abandonment. On the other hand, I guess there's evidence that the piping had been cut out and appliances removed and wiring and power boxes gone. So that makes the place look a little bit less habitable, but that could have happened yesterday.
Well, I think that's speculation to say it could have happened yesterday.
In light
of Brooks' testimony, I don't think that you can juxtapose that with the testimony of their own officer and say, well, it happened yesterday. I think that's a reach.
Except we know that the defendants had in their vehicle the sink, pipes, wiring. Isn't there a reasonable inference that they're the ones who tore out the drywall to get those things out?
I thought about that, whether you could have a residence and have the defendants go in and turn it into a building by taking the things. I think you have to look at all the circumstances. I've talked that it was vacant. It was certainly uninhabitable. Brooks testified again that he didn't think anybody could live there. There was no remodeling going on, as you see in other cases. There was no reconstruction being done in the case. There was flooding in the basement. There was no furniture on the premises. And the state's theory of the case is that, and I think it's on page 5 of their brief, is once a dwelling, always a dwelling. Because it was inhabited once, therefore that somehow lives for perpetuity. And that's not the case in this situation.
But why isn't it a question for the jury to sift and sort through exactly those arguments and say, yeah, we're going to discount the owner's testimony for some reasons, and we're going to load up on the deputies, and we think it isn't a dwelling?
I think you can use that prism for any case. And I could stand here on any sufficiency case, and you could ask me that question. And courts still analyze whether there's sufficient evidence to support what the jury did. And that's what we're saying. Is it a jury question? Yeah, all the cases say it's a jury question. But the point is whether or not there's evidence that supports what the jury did.
Thank you. You still have
Thank
your
you.
Minute. Morning.
Good morning. I'm Jody Backlund. I represent Nicholas Kristen.
How much time do you want to reserve?
5 minutes. I'd like to reserve two, if that's all right.
They said there'd be no math.
I'm going to wait because that's very interesting to me, too. All right. Our argument is that there was insufficient evidence that the building was a dwelling and that the state did not meet their burden to disprove abandonments once raised. Now, we have evidence that was undisputed that Longoria left the house in 2007. Before 2007, she lived there. There's no dispute about that. It was her residence. It was her dwelling. But she had not returned to that home until long after this incident occurred. She had not returned to that home, nor had she done any work. She testified that she intended to do work, as I'm sure people who are owners of abandoned property intend to do, because it would be lovely to convert that into money. Right,
and but I don't think she had friends who came by, and
she did. But the testimony was less clear, I think, than what came out earlier. And what happened with the realtor's testimony, in my recollection, is that the realtor, she was asked, "Did you put it up for sale?" Yes, it had been up for sale the entire time. Did you, before you left in 2007, put up no trespassing signs? Yes. We don't know that those were still there. There was no testimony about that. But with respect to what the realtor said they had shown the house. Did you get any new information about the condition of the house? No. Did he say all these other things, that the basement was flooded, that there were vines growing on the inside? No. The realtor didn't tell me. Now, the assumption from that...
Where did the evidence come from about the current condition of the house on the day that the break-in occurred?
The police. Yes.
During and is it... Judge Verlin asked the question, which I don't think we quite got an answer to. Is it... Did these defendants have stuff from the house in it that were, the absence of that stuff is what made it look abandoned?
No. They had some stuff definitely in the back of their truck that was from the house. And I think they admitted that to the police. Yeah, we took it. We thought we had permission. And that's a different issue that we're not raising today. But the kinds of things that made it appear abandoned, such as the copper wire stripped through the drywall so that there's a trail of hole in the drywall as the copper wire comes out, they didn't have that. The pipes that had been cut, the refrigerator that had been moved, there were several different items that were gone that made it appear, and it clearly was, abandoned.
During the 2008 presidential election, Senator McCain stated that he didn't remember how many homes he and his wife owned. An inference from that was that at least one of these homes that they owned, he hadn't been to in quite a while.
Yeah.
Did him forgetting that he owned a home turn it into something that was no longer ordinarily used as a residence, if it had been so long since he'd been there that he didn't remember that he owned it?
No. Two answers to that. No. First, you have to look at the definition, as you said, used or ordinarily used by a person for lodging, which is different than a residence, right? But second of all, we have a lot more facts than just one statement of, I haven't been there in a while, I don't really remember. We have significant facts about abandonment and about the status of this building, that it was very clear from the outside and the inside it was no longer used as a dwelling.
One quick question before you sit down. Did the defendants testify in this case?
I don't think so.
Okay, thank you.
I'm going to correct myself if I need to.
All right.
We'll see you again in 11 minutes.
Good morning. My name is Carol Levern. I represent the state. Before I address why the appellant's argument is incorrect, I'd like to start at the back. Both of them have asked as a remedy that even if this court decides that they're correct and there is not sufficient evidence that this is a dwelling, the remedy is not dismissal. It should be remanding for entry of judgment on second-degree burglary, because they are essentially saying that's what that was. The jury was instructed on second-degree burglary. It was charged as an alternative, so he was charged with second-degree burglary, and he should be... The two defendants, if the court reverses the residential burglary conviction, should be remanded for entry of judgment.
Does that rule apply where crimes are charged in the alternative, or does it only apply where crimes are charged as lesser included or inferior degree crimes?
I could not find a case that addressed that specific question, but they did say that as long as he was charged and the jury was instructed, and the jury must necessarily have found those elements.
What then case do you think we would cite if we were going to do that?
There is State versus McDonald, which is included in my brief, and that is 123 Washington Appellate 85, and State versus Hedari, which is 174 Washington 2nd 288. But about why this building is a dwelling. Essentially, the appellants are arguing that a third person, a person who does not own or possess or have any right to possess a building, can change the character for purposes of whether it is a residential burglary or a second-degree burglary. And here, and the court has said several times here that this is a jury question. The evidence is sufficient if any rational trier of fact could have found that this building was, in fact, a dwelling. And to be a dwelling, it doesn't have to be habitable. The definition simply says used or ordinarily used by
persons lodging. But if you've got what was a residence 30 years ago and the roof has fallen in and the walls are half down and the chimney's crumbled, your argument is that still, once it was used at some point for lodging, it's ordinarily used for that purpose no matter what its condition becomes?
No, that's not my argument. And I had more of that. But I don't know that we should allow, that the law should allow people who come in and vandalize the place to change the character of it.
Well, are you saying that the evidence shows that's what happened, that it would have been clearly a dwelling without any doubt, except that they themselves vandalized it and removed certain things, and that made it that's what made it uninhabitable. Is that what you're arguing?
I am arguing that if the court accepts the appellant's argument here, you're essentially establishing a rule that would say if a person vandalizes a house to which he has no right to be in, that he can change the character of it.
Well, I don't think that's the case. I mean, the question is here, they went into a building and they ripped stuff out of it. There's no question that's a crime.
Correct.
The question is whether these people should be given the higher penalty for having committed a residential burglary.
Correct.
They did commit burglary. Okay, so the question is, was this a dwelling? Was it used or ordinarily used for lodging? So I don't think we have to establish any rule about, like you suggest, we just have to figure out whether a jury could rationally decide based on the evidence presented at trial that at the time they entered, before they did whatever they did to it on that day, the building was used or ordinarily used for lodging.
That's correct.
All right. So let's proceed to look at whatever the evidence was.
And I would
say, and that's what I'd kind of like to know, is how the state perceives the evidence.
I do.
Is it true, as counsel said, that before they went in, the copper wire had been totally ripped out and the power boxes removed already?
And there's no evidence one way or the other to say what the condition was before they went in, except that in the back of the pickup that they were driving were the junction boxes, the wiring where the outlets go into the wall. There was wiring, there was a pipe, the kitchen sink, and a number of other items that were consistent with what was in that house before. And I disagree with their interpretation of Deputy Brooks' testimony that it had been that way for more than a year. They asked him when was the last time he had been there, and he said probably more than a year. And they said, what was the condition at that time? Somebody wasn't living there. So apparently what he understood the condition to be is, was it vacant? And vacant and abandoned are two different things. To be abandoned, and the only definition that we really have to work with was taken from the dictionary and cited in State versus JP, which is to cease to assert or exercise an interest, right, or title.
Now, that's part of the defense, right? That's not part of the elements of residential burglary.
That's true, but they're arguing that this court should find that it was abandoned.
Well, let's stick to one issue at a time. Sure. I mean, I think the first and foremost issue is whether there was evidence that it was used or ordinarily used as a dwelling. You know, so that would have been, I guess, apparent to anybody who walked by and said, I think I might look in that house and see if I can go in and rip off some appliances.
Well, the last use was as a residence. The victim and her mother lived there. She listed it with a realtor. She had listed it on Craigslist. She had no trespassing signs on the fence. She had a for sale sign out front. She had a realtor showing the house to people. She had friends checking on it and reporting to her, and in some cases sending photographs. And she said that most recently, in February of 2012, a friend from Seattle had come down and reported to her on the condition of the house.
And what had the friend reported?
She didn't say what the friend reported. I think the inference is that if the friend had said, man, this place is a dump, it's been trashed, she would have said that, or she would have certainly gotten herself up to the property sooner than April of 2012. But I think the jury could make a reasonable inference that at least in February, this was a dwelling, this was a house that people lived in. She was trying to sell it. And based on that information, it would be a dwelling right up until the time pretty much that the defendants went in. And so the jury, I mean, the standard here is the evidence sufficient? Could a rational trier of fact have found from these facts that it was used or ordinarily used for lodging? And it was never used for any other purpose. But vacant and changing the character of a building are two different things. And a warehouse doesn't cease to be a warehouse because one company stops business and moves out, takes all their stuff, and then there's a time before another company comes in. It's still a warehouse.
What you're saying now does sound like what counsel characterized the state's position, which is that once a dwelling, always a dwelling.
No, and as to the earlier question about 30 years and just over the nature of time falling down, of course it could change. But here
you can see that there conceivably could be a case where the state would obtain a conviction for residential burglary and the appellate court would reverse it for insufficiency of the evidence,
yes,
notwithstanding the fact that there's jury questions involved. That can be done.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm asserting in this case that there was sufficient evidence for the jury to find that it was a dwelling and that the court should affirm the conviction for residential burglary.
Do you agree that the phrase used or ordinarily used refers to the present tense, present tense as of the time when the crime occurred?
Yes. And when...
So on that date, when they walked by, they would have detected that it was used...
Or ordinarily
for lodging,
used.
Which it doesn't seem to me like there was any evidence that it was being used for lodging, or was there? Because it's, used or ordinarily used is an odd phrase, but I guess what it suggests to me is that, obviously you can have a house that isn't occupied at a particular time, yet it's still lodging because it's ordinarily used for lodging.
Exactly.
So aren't we really kind of focused on the ordinarily used?
That's true, because, there's no dispute that nobody was living in it at the time.
Right.
But
and
when...
If anybody had gone by for the last 5 years, they would have, after careful surveillance, undoubtedly realized that nobody was there.
Pretty much. My argument is that by having it listed with a realtor, having it shown, having people check on it, there was clearly action taken to keep it from losing its character as a dwelling. And when we are looking to see whether, for example, entry or remaining on the property is lawful or unlawful, we give greater weight to the testimony of the person who has the possessory right there. I'm suggesting that we should give greater weight to the testimony of the person who has the ownership or possessory right about whether or not this is used or ordinarily used as a lodging.
I suppose a focus would be on what it looks like from the outside. I mean, the thing is, we've heard that a lot of stuff on the inside was ripped apart, but that wouldn't necessarily be obvious to somebody before they broke in, right? I mean, you would look at it and you see, here's a house with a broken window and some blackberry bushes.
That's correct.
And you don't know whether it's got appliances or copper wiring or power plugs or anything like that. You just know that it looks a little bit dilapidated.
Yes.
Thank you.
Do I have a minute?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, good. To answer your question, be more specific, there was nothing these defendants did that changed the character. And there was evidence before they got there. And that's why I cited the Brooks testimony about the year previously. The state represented that that's not exactly what Brooks said. I have the transcript here, and I'm referring to page 108. And he is specifically asked, okay, was the condition at that time when you entered the home similar to the condition it was in March of this year? His answer, yes. So the place was the same when he went there, when the crime was committed in March 9th of 2012, as it was in 2011. I have nothing else.
Usually the allegation is that they stole everything except the kitchen sink.
The kitchen sink was in the back of the truck.
Okay.
But you know what wasn't? The flooring. There was no flooring in the house, and there was no...
How did you know that if you were just walking by on the outside and deciding which house you wanted to break into.
You wouldn't. You would see the vine growing through the window, probably. That would be your clue from the outside.
You know, this is Washington. I've seen a lot of blackberry vines growing where they shouldn't be.
But someone who lives in a house usually takes care of it. Was all the way inside. It was taking root inside. It was not just
peeking through. How
do you know what
was doing inside if you don't go inside and look?
I think you can see these things from the outside. There were other signs. The roof had fallen off the barn. The carport roof was buckled. There were more than one broken window that was visible from the front, and there were no
pictures?
Locks even present. There were pictures at the trial court. I don't recall if you have them or not, to be honest.
We do not have. They have not been brought up on appeal.
I defer to you on that. Counsel just asked me about that. What I want to bring this back to is the point that the legislature had when they made a different law for residential burglary and for burglary in the second degree. The reason is because people live in houses. We want to protect people who live in houses. And, of course, it's more serious if you burglarize a home where someone's physically there. That makes it a robbery, of course. But the reason we want to punish people more sternly when they break into a house than a building is because we live there. In this case, we don't have that concern. No one had lived there. And I want to remind the court also that the definition of dwelling is in the present tense. And what we have is the evidence from the state is very clearly in the past tense, most of it from 5 years prior. But in the present tense, this
house. I have a second home. I haven't been there since October. Has it lost its character as a place that I ordinarily use as a dwelling?
No, because it's ordinarily used by a person for lodging is the word. And lodging, I think, is different than dwelling. It can include where.
Has it lost that character?
I don't have enough facts that I would conclude that it has. No. It's very different from what happened here. If you have vines growing through the window, if you have no locks, if your barn roof has fallen off, I think it would be different.
I hope that's not the case, but
Me
not
too.
Entirely sure.
Me too, Your Honor. Thank you.
Next up.